Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 9th, 2024. Order is Via Door 10-20-28. We will start our first service today with a reading from the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, Vitti Hala. The Bear and the Leopard. It's on page 50, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. Okay. Well, the example made of the Babylonian monarchs should have an object lesson to all successive kings. The godly influence of Sars might also have been retained, but the kings of Medo-Persia, like the Chaldeans, were looking forward to the worldly glory without the fear of him who can set up kingdoms and depose kings. For the priceless lesson taught by the punishment of the Chaldean kings should have been a blessing unto them. But in their vain imagination, they departed from the source of the true wisdom and from power that is never failing. Thus that which was intended as a blessing became a condemnation. Therefore, the kings of the Medo-Persia grew worse than the kings of Grecia, whose idols were their gods, and perverse appetite as their only rule of life. Thus again the time had come for the ribs in the mouth of the bear to speak, arise and devour much flesh. Therefore the arm of the omnipotence was withdrawn from the Persian king and Alexander, with the swiftness of an eagle marched upon his prey. So Medo-Persia opened the gateway for the bloodiest wars in our world's history. In this manner, the words, arise, devour, much flesh, met their fulfillment. Says Daniel, and as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him. And he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that should deliver the ram out of his hand. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and the Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Daniel 8:5-7, 20-21. Therefore Alexander, whose love for the conquest knew no bounds, was the first to successfully lead the West against the East. But no sooner had Alexander conquered the empire than he engaged in a drunken debauch and passed away while yet in his youth. Thus the horn of the he-goat was broken off from between his eyes, and for it came up four notable ones towards, for the four winds of the heaven, others enter not heaven as successor to inherit the throne. The kingdom was divided between his four generals, namely Cassander, Lamarcus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Thus time and providence brought about the four-headed leopard beast. For the ram and the he-goat, for the entire conflict between the nations, is symbolized by the ram and the goat, with the various horns coming up and breaking off. Why a ram and a goat? Why not some other species of the animal? For Yahshua gives the answer. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Matthew 25:32-33. By these domestic beasts, inspiration conveys the thought that the inhabitants of the earth are but sheep and goats, true and false religion. It also signifies that wars are a strife between good and evil. But why? The Medo-Persia by a ram and Grecia by a goat. Why not the reverse? For the kings of the Medo-Persian Empire became believers in the true Yahweh, as previously explained, thus having principles contrary to those of Grecia. For that reason, Medo-Persia was represented by a ram, and Grecia by a goat. Wonderful it is to note how perfect and thoughtful was the great wisdom and care of the Infinite One, as exercised for to devise these symbols. Only omnipotence can invent such perfect prophetic art for telling of the historical events. Kingdom of the Brass rules the world. That's our next subtitle. It has been previously explained that the lion, the bear, and the leopard beast are divinely numbered, the leopard being the fourth empire from creation, and as the numbers in that fashion stop with him, naturally the question would arise, why not continue the numerical order with the beast that followed the leopard? Okay. There are several reasons for the change with that particular beast. As Rome was slowly rising from within the Grecian Empire, she finally absorbed the last Grecian division, and the Ptolemy dynasty became a province of the Roman state about 27 BC. Thus the Old Testament closed with the Grecia and with Rome as the new began. Therefore, between Grecia and Rome lies the dividing line. It also noted that the beasts represented of the Old Testament are hornless, but the ones in the new are with the horns, all of which signifying the close of the typical and the commencement of the antitypical period. for the numerals of the Bible are like the rich veins of the metal beneath the surface of the earth. Thousands walk over these unknown treasures until some unseen power brings them to the surface. We know that the Trinity is best expressed by the use of the term Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we express Yahweh's attributes in three terms, namely, omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. This feature could be greatly enlarged upon. If three is a symbol of the triune Yahweh, four must designate that which proceeds from him. As revealed in the creation, the cherubims consist of four living creatures, each having the face of a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle, respectively. There are four regions of the earth, east, north, south, and west, which is expressive of the completeness of the direction. Likewise, winter, spring, summer, and autumn covers the complete cycle of the season. We have already observed that there were four universal empires in the history of the world, from the creation to the crucifixion. We may also note the fact, in the connection with this subject, that there is a combination of the threefold with the fourfold, as clearly seen in the work of the creation, in which the first 4 days were employed in the forming of the sphere, and the remaining three in the creation of the living creatures, and culminating in a Sabbath rest. For the fourth day saw the material substance of the creation finished, and on the fifth and sixth days were the people of the earth. In the book of the Revelation, under or with the head of the seventh seal, we observe that the first four seals were clearly separated from the last three by the symbols of the four horses. Thus it appears that the fourfold measure in each case precedes the threefold, just as in the creation order, each division culminating in the seven of the perfection. For this reason, there are four sections in the great image of the Daniel. Two beasts in the Daniel vision, four wings and four heads on the leopard, with whom the numbers in that fashion cease. Thus it is evident that the Old Testament closed with a symbolic number four. For the leopard-like beast, showing that all the necessary provision for the salvation of the human family was completed under or with the dispensation, in the dispensation of this prominent number four. Let's do that again. It says, thus it is evident that the Old Testament closed with a symbolic number four, the leopard beast, showing that all of the necessary provisions for the salvation of the human family was completed under the dispensation of this prominent number four, as it terminated about the time of the crucifixion. Thus, this number is used in the connection with the incidences to signify earthwide. Okay, so that's the end of that the leopard, the bear and the leopard. Okay. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel 2:1. Okay, this is where we're at today. A nondescript beast. Following the four-headed leopard comes the nondescript beast of Daniel 7:7, representing the fourth universal empire from the flood, but the fifth one from creation. Rome is represented by a more terrible symbol than the kingdoms before it. There must be a special reason why the Roman monarchy is represented by a nondescript beast, for the symbol reveals that the Roman system of the government was an arrangement that could not be described. The nearest approach to a correct name is the term nondescript. We shall now consider the government administration, the crucifixion of Yahshua, and the martyrdom of the Christians give evidence that the Roman executive authority was vested in the paganism, which was at the war with the Christianity. As these Christians were put to death for refusal to worship the gods of the people, it is obvious that the Jews urged the civil arm of Rome to try and enforce their own religious customs, for the Yahshua being an example, for he was crucified as a result of the religious controversy. Rome in the first century persecuted the Christians, but after adopting Christianity, she ill-treated the pagans, compelling them to join the so-called Christian church. From the evidence gathered, it is plain to see that the Roman monarchy was a tool for either pagan, Jew, or Christian, alternating in the favor of one and then of the other, and as much as the character of the imperial Rome jurisdiction could not be defined as pagan, Jew, or Christian, nondescript is the only fitting symbol. It is said of the Constantine at his death that his subjects knew not what kind of burial to give him, since he was a professed Christian, but at heart a pagan. Perhaps many nations, as well as some professed Christians at the present time, are nondescript like the Romans, for the Apostle has described their condition thusly, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but utter their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Attempts to establish the ecclesiastical government. That's our next subtitle. For the question may arise, what hindered Satan from establishing an ecclesiastical monarchy before the closing period of the Old Testament? For the only answer that can be given is the Jewish nation permitted him to be called their eyes. They were told not to make a confederacy with the world, but unmindful of the command, they made a league with the Romans, and that is what helped Satan to accomplish his scheme. For the following will show that this great enemy of the mankind tried this same procedure in the days of the Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, as a king, made an image of the gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of the Dura, in the province of the Babylon. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and tongue, and languages, you fall down and worship the golden image that the Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up, and whose soul falleth not down, and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, for the nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image," Daniel 3:1-4:7. "But there were 3 Hebrews found who rebelled against the king's command and refused to bow down to the idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Okay, let's read this again. For the nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image, Daniel 3:1-4:7. But there were 3 Hebrews found who rebelled against the king's command and refused to bow down to the idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. For if it be so, our Yahweh, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.' And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then the Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, 'Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of Yahweh.' Then the Nebuchadnezzar came near unto the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High Yahweh, come forth and come hither.'" Daniel 3:16-18 and 20:22-26. "Then these men came forth unhurt. It is wonderful what the Yahweh accomplished with but 3 slaves against a world's empire. These 3 men, with the faith in Yahweh, broke the satanic contrivance and abolished the establishment of an ecclesiastical government and brought the king's decree to naught. For the Satan worked out a similar plot in the Medo-Persian government with the plans that were carried out by the intrigue taking king unawares, taking the king unawares. Though Daniel was cast into the lion's den, he too came out unharmed, but his enemies perished, as did those who threw the three Hebrews into the fiery furnace. Thus Satan's power was broken in both of these ancient empires. Had there been such men as these Hebrews in the days of the establishment of the Roman monarchy, or at the closing of the Old Testament history and during the commencement of the new, conditions would have been entirely different. For the world is in the urgent need of this time of men like the three Hebrews, who would rather yield this present life than for the offending of their Yahweh, men like the Daniel, who looked with a strong faith unto the Yahweh and was without fault in his religious and secular duties. By such men as these, the world has been blessed with the everlasting benefit and rewards that no human lips can describe. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto the Zion, Thy Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, thy Redeemer, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice, with their voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:7-8. Our next subtitle is the Red Dragon, Revelation 12:3. And there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, for a woman being clothed with a sun and a moon under her feet, and upon her head a cross of the 12 stars, and she being with the child cried, travailing in the birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them onto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:1-9. For the dragon was seen in the heaven, and being cast out, it is obvious that the symbol is of the heavenly origin. Of him it is said, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Note that the dragon is a symbol of Satan, even as the lamb having 7 horns and 7 eyes is a symbol of the Yahshua. Revelation 5:6. Since the numerous beasts form an unbreakable chain of the world empires, the dragon cannot intersect between the links as a symbol of a separate earthly system. Thus, he represents just what the scripture says, the devil and Satan. For the figure is given to reveal Satan's came at a certain time in our world's history. For the woman clothed with a sun is understood to be the Yahweh's church, the child to which she gave birth, being the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. The 12 stars that comprise the woman's crown were religious symbols of the 12 patriarchs. This will be made plain in another study. Therefore, we shall endeavor for the making clear of the time of the dragon and of his work. For it will be noticed that the dragon stood ready for the devouring of the child, Yahshua, as soon as he was born. It is evident that the old serpent armed himself with the 7 heads and 10 horns prior unto the birth of Yahshua, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of the heaven. For the scripture is self-explanatory as to who the symbolical stars are. For inspiration says he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Therefore, the third part of the stars represent the angels who were deceived by the Satan's controversy. Okay. So, quoting Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 115, Satan in his rebellion took a third part of the angels, for they turned from the Father and from his Son and united with the instigator of the rebellion. For the question may arise, why draw them with his tail and not some other way? For the symbol is perfectly capable of the indicating of the manner that the Satan drew them to the earth with. Had it been done with the claws, it would denote that the Satan defeated Michael, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and by the force dragged out a third of the angels, but since he drew them with his tail, the significance is that a third part of the angels joined him in the rebellion against Michael, for when the dragon was cast out naturally, he was coming head first, and as he drew them with his tail, it revealed that they voluntarily followed him. Thus, Yahshua could do nothing for them. War in Heaven is our next subtitle. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Now there was a place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, 7 and 8. For the conflict was in heaven. The name Michael means who is like unto the other. Hence, it is one of the many titles of the Asher. For the Daniel calls him Michael the Great Prince, which stands for the children of that people, Daniel 12:1. For the Asher has a numerous titles, each bearing a definition of a certain phase or character of his work. For the angel said unto Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Yahshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is also called Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us, etc. Time cast out. Here's our next subtitle. We're going to continue on page 66 of our Two Shepherds Rod, Volume 2. Time cast out. Satan could not have been cast out of the heaven immediately after he sinned, or when he deceived Adam and Eve. For in Job 1:6-7, we read, now there was a day when the sons of Yahweh came to present themselves before the Yahshua, and Satan came also among them, And the Yashua said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Yahweh, the Father, and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. For the sons of Yahweh are the representatives of the unfallen world, equal unto Adam before he sinned, created by the hand of Yahweh, and representatives in the same capacity as Adam could have been had he not fallen from his throne by the sin. Quoting from the spirit of the prophecy, the commanders of the angel's host, the sons of Yahweh, the representatives of the unfallen worlds, are assembled. The heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused Yahweh and his son, the representative of those sinless realms over which Satan had sought to establish his dominion, Desire of Ages, page 834. Satan still has had access to heaven in Job's time. Therefore, he must have been cast out at a later date, says John. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child, Revelation 12:13. For the next necessary step is to find when the dragon first persecuted the woman, the Christian church, or actually the apostolic church, true name of it, with the 12 apostles, we shall then have the truth of the time Satan was cast out. For that time of the persecution is recorded in the Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of the Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Thus, the great persecution against the church was about 34 A.D., for it is true that the Satan persecuted Yahshua before that time, but Yahshua is not the woman. He is the child whom the Satan wished to devour. Therefore, Satan was cast out immediately after the Yahshua ascended on high. For the spirit of the prophecy speaking of the occasion says, All are there to welcome the Redeemer. They are eager to celebrate his triumph and to glorify their King. For he presents unto the Yahweh the wave sheaf, those raised with him as the representatives of the great multitude who shall come forth from the grave at his second coming, for the voice of Yahweh is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied, Satan is vanquished, Yahshua's toiling, struggling ones on the earth are accepted in the Beloved before the heavenly angels and the representation of the unfallen world, they are declared justified. Satan saw that his disguise was torn away, his administration was laid open before the unfallen angels and before the heavenly universe. He had revealed himself as a murderer by the shedding of the blood of the Son of Yahweh, for he had uprooted himself from the sympathy of the heavenly beings. Henceforth, his work was restricted. Whatever attitude he might assume, he could no longer await the angels as they came from the heavenly court, and before them accused Yahshua's brethren of being clothed with the garments of the blackness and the defilements of the sin. The last link of the sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. The dissolved ages 8:33, 8:34, and 7:61. For the time he drew a third part of the star's angels from the heaven, and the time of the war in heaven were two distinct occasions. He drew the angels when they followed him from heaven to the earth and sought to destroy the devour Yahshua. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth, that is, after Yahshua was crucified, Satan, at his return to heaven, was forbidden an entrance. Thus he saw, understood that he was cast out, then he persecuted the church. For the dragon's horns and heads is our next subtitle. For the only possible time for the application of the symbolical horns, heads, and crowns would be with the closing of the old dispensation and at the commencement of the new, for the dragon appeared in that form when Yahshua was to be born, for the horns represents the same as they do on any symbolical beast, being 10 in the number. For the symbol, he notes that the effect of his scheme was universally felt. It also signifies that Satan had obtained the full control of the nations, which were symbolized by the 10 horns of the nondescript beast of Daniel 7. And thus he moved upon Herod to kill the children at the birth of the Yahshua, with the hope of destroying the Savior, devouring the child. Let us not overlook the fact that all the horns, heads, and crowns were present when he stood ready for the devouring of a child. Consequently, whatever the meaning by these symbols, all must be in the existence at the same time, and had this not been so, the symbols of the heads and horns would, as so indicated by the coming up one after another, like the beast, and also like the horns of the ram and of the goat of the Daniel 8, for the same is true with the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7:7, from which three of the 10 horns were plucked up by the roots, where systems and governments do not all exist at the same time. The symbols appear one after another in their correct order. Thus we see that inspiration is perfect in every respect and flawless in the revealing of the truth intended. Therefore, it would be inconsistent for one to conclude that the horns as well as the heads could represent a consecutive order of the system as long as they all appear in a group and in the oneness with the beast that carries them. It is also impossible that both horns and heads could represent civil governments or kings. If the horns stand for the political system, then the heads cannot. If the wounded head on the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1-3 represents a religious organization, then all of the heads must stand for the religious system. However, there is an exception with the four-headed leopard of the Daniel 7:6, for he is without horns. And his heads are proven to be civil by the four horns of the goat. It is an unmistakable fact that the symbols are intended for the revealing of the civil and religious phases during the period represented by the nondescript beast in both his stages, imperial and papal Rome. As crowns denote civil authority, and as they appear on their heads instead of on their horns, it is evident that the church in that period was taken civil dictatorial power for the propagating of her dogmas. Thus, the lessons embodied in these symbols are far greater than we can comprehend in a moment, as the facts are brought forth regarding the nature of the symbols cannot be questioned. We have a positive foundation for their application. For the dragon with his 7 heads and 10 horns with the crown on the heads appeared at the birth of the Yashur, as previously explained, and occupies a period parallel with the nondescript beast, for the heads are represented by the biblical number 7, meaning completeness, and embrace every religious system in the days of the Yashur, as the dragon represents the devil who controls the heads. The symbol unmistakably denotes a complete apostasy. It is not intended for the revealing that the pagan system of the worship was headed by the devil, for it has never been otherwise, for it was the Jewish church that had apostatized, and that is what made the biblical number 7 head. Just such an apostasy had gripped the world in the days of the Noah, and its wickedness made the continuation of the world impossible. Therefore, necessity for the good of the mankind brought about the flood. For the terrible apostasy of the Jews made unavoidable another disaster, similar unto the dreadful deluge, as the Yahweh could not overthrow the world by the water the second time, and yet keep his never failing promise. For his faithful servant Noah, he sent his son to die in the world's stead. Therefore, the world perished not because of the supreme sacrifice of the Son of the Yahweh. And the world exists today because the Yashur arose from the dead. The dragon's crowns. Now, next we note the crowns and their significance. For it had been explained that the crowns denotes the civil authority, for the heads being crowned, it reveals that the churches of that time employed the civil arm of the state. Had this not been true, the Jews could not have crucified the Yashir of the Glory, neither could they have stoned Stephen or beheaded and killed the others. It was the civil arm of the Rome, headed by the dragon, through which the Jews committed these terrible crimes, resulting in their own destruction. For the accuser of the brethren, after the dragon was cast down from the heaven, according unto the vision, says John, and I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come the salvation and strength of the kingdom of our Yahweh, and the power of his son Yashur, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, that accused them before our Yahweh day and night. Revelation 12:10. For the Satan's accusation against those who seek the Yashur are not prompted by the displeasure at their sin. He exalts in their defective character, for he knows that only through their transgression of the Yahweh's law can he obtain power over them. Prophets and Kings 5:85-6. When the Spirit of the Yahweh prompts to reprove, he will reveal sin and rebuke the sinner. But Satan encourages the sinner to unconsciously commit himself in the transgression, then he accuses him before the great judge in the heaven as being clothed with the garments of the blackness and the defilement of the sin for the securing of his condemnation. For the Yahweh's people must learn for the detecting of the voice of the spirit of Yahshua as well as the spirit of the Satan. When the two clash, the one will strive for the obedience unto the Yahweh's word, but the other will excuse the sin and sympathize with the sinner. In this way, Satan gains ground, for the sinner loves his sin. Well, that brings us into that segment. We have a new subtitle called The Church, or named The Church of Yahweh, and the symbol of a woman. This brings in verse 5, this hour, contact us here at the 11th hour, call us number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message, and more. We're going to close now with a song.